Change. Life will be different in the future. Life will be different in the future, we know that. The process of life is a constant changing. But the next 20, 10, the next 5 years will confront us with greater changes than we expected. We will change the way we live, because we must change the way we live.
I don't like change.
It's hard to change.
Hogwash. I don't believe all the prophets have doomed.
Are you sure we have to change?
Home mortgage rates are now over 15%, and the average price of a home is around $70,000. The entire supply of crude oil in the world will be consumed in 20 years unless we drastically change the way we use it. There is great concern for the quantity of fresh water available in the world. It is not a renewable resource, a vast supply. Preventive measures are needed to preserve and recycle water.
Doom and gloom. Doom and gloom. Some people like to paint only gray and black pictures.
We don't believe it. Technology will save us.
Technology runs on energy. It takes oil and electricity and natural gas to find new energy sources. And technology hasn't always meant progress. For example, 30 years ago, refrigerators were 90% efficient. Now they are 60% or less efficient. Scientists do not expect to make large, if any, breakthroughs in new energy sources for at least 20 years.
We might use up oil and deplete coal before we find new resources, especially if we use our electricity and oil to run around on shopping trips and light up shopping centers and cool poorly insulated buildings.
I know we can get more oil.
Where?
Crush a lot of dinosaurs. They know what oil and coal came from in the first place.
Very funny.
The chairman of the Federal Reserve Board told a congressional committee on October 18, 1979, the standard of living of the average American has to decline. I don't think you can escape that. He continued by saying that with the drain of wealth to OPEC countries, if Americans do not try to live with less, we will have worse and worse inflation. He later told Minneapolis corporate executives that we must accept that our people will consume less. Meanwhile, the cost of housing and heat is predicted to cause a need for living in more and more multiple dwellings, shared walls, shared heat. 30 to 40% less energy is used when we heat apartments or two-story row houses rather than single dwellings. Gasoline will cost $2 to $2.50 a gallon soon, which will mean Americans will pay gas prices equal to what Europeans have paid for many years.
So many changes. It's scary. It's depressing.
The man felt depressed. A heart attack left him afraid, unsure. It's the unknown, he said. We understood. We have constant changes. Less water, fewer cars, costly mortgages. Our economy and way of life changes and rearranges, and we feel insecure. Long ago you knew, Lord, that people fear unknowns and seek security. Then you said, put your trust in the Lord. Now we hear your words again. We understand.
But the Lord says, do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. Even the wild animals will honor me. Jackals and ostriches will praise me when I make the rivers flow in the desert to give water to my chosen people. They are the people I made for myself, and they will sing my praises. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any.
Part 2, Grief. We can react or adapt. Part of the difficulty with change is that we usually feel like we're losing something. We resist. We try to conquer the new situation. We meet it as an enemy more than an opportunity. We think we don't like to change. It's easier to deny that change is necessary. We avoid looking honestly at ourselves to avoid having to change.
Things can't really be so bad. Besides, our family isn't one of the rich ones. We aren't big spenders. We barely get by.
I'm kind of bored, Kathy. I can't think of anything to do.
I know. Let's go shopping.
Good idea. Mom, will you take us to Southdale to look around?
Well, I suppose I could. I'm not interested in watching this football game on TV anyway. I'll come too. I'm sure I can find something I need if I just look around.
We need to be honest with ourselves. We are big spenders.
We also aren't comfortable with change because it makes us feel afraid, insecure.
Maybe I'll never be able to buy a home.
I'm used to a modern kitchen. What if I don't have all those appliances?
What if my job becomes obsolete because of energy changes?
If I don't dress in current styles, I feel out of place.
It's scary to consider living with less.
And it's disappointing, too.
We look forward to buying a larger house with a big yard.
I was going to have my own car.
We wanted to take trips every winter after we retire.
What do you know about business anyway? We need to keep production up to keep our economy moving.
It takes energy to keep production up. We have seen a shift in work. People are finding new jobs in energy-related industries.
It's easy to blame others for our situation.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think it's the fault of the OPEC countries and the oil companies.
Why doesn't the government do something? It's their fault.
Whose fault is it that we're in this mess?
In 1970, we used 6 tons of coal per capita to supply energy needs. In 40 years, we'll need 54 tons per capita to keep up with our use. In 1975, per capita consumption of oil was 2 times that of West Germany, the second highest user of that resource. We consume 40 times as much energy as the average African. In this election year, the Congress is reluctant to pass strict energy legislation for fear of losing votes. The average American home has 2 cars and 21 small appliances.
Radio.
Waffle iron.
Toaster.
Electric knife.
Blender.
Electric toothbrushes.
It's nobody's fault but our own.
Snowmobile.
Dishwasher.
300 horsepower motor.
It's nobody's fault but our own.
Dad, our radio broke.
You'll have to get a new one, I guess.
We'll serve potato salad and beans.
What will we use for utensils?
Let's get plastic forks and spoons. We can throw them away.
Throw away cans and tableware and diapers.
Plastic bottles?
Throw it away.
Dented bike?
Throw it away.
Rusting car? Worn shoes? Wearing upholstery? Old-fashioned coffee maker?
Throw it away. Get a new one.
Where shall we throw it?
In the dump.
The plastic and aluminum don't decompose. They lie there for years and years.
Too much water. Take it to the dump.
We've neglected the chance to repair and recycle. Now we're running out of room for all our junk. And it costs energy to replace instead of recycling and repairing. Whose fault is it that we're in this mess?
It's nobody's fault but our own.
Denying the problem or avoiding being honest with ourselves and blaming other people or countries does nothing to change the fact. All it does is delay our ability to adapt.
All right, so I won't blame somebody else. But this energy thing makes me angry.
Yeah, I don't like anybody telling me what to do or where to go or where to drive.
I hate long gas lines. I get so mad.
I'm the one who gets cheated. More, if you guys hadn't wasted all the good stuff, there'd be more left for kids like me.
Anger is natural. Anger is natural, but it delays cooperation.
WCCO Radio has started a campaign to encourage carpools. Major U.S. and Minnesota corporations are providing cheaper parking and pay incentives to carpoolers. The government is encouraging energy saving like home insulation. Cooperation seems to be a key word in conservation.
We could cooperate. Getting angry and complaining is a waste of energy.
Then I confessed my sins to you. I did not conceal my wrongdoings. I decided to confess them to you, and you forgave all my sins. So all your loyal people should pray to you in times of need. When a great flood of trouble comes rushing in, it will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will save me from trouble. I sing aloud of your salvation because you protect me. The Lord says, I will teach you the way you should go. I will instruct you and advise you. Happy are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned.
Part 3, Justice. Live simply, that others may simply live. When we observe the world around us, we realize that we depend on the rest of the world to support our extravagant lifestyle.
What?
We use 42% of the world's aluminum, 44% of the world's coal, 33% of copper and petroleum, 63% of the world's natural gas, and 28% of the world's iron.
We use all that?
Much of the food we eat is grown in developing countries where foreign firms like U.S. corporations control the land. Half the Central American and Caribbean land produces food for export, while 70% of the children of those areas are undernourished.
That's not fair.
That's injustice.
One-fourth of the U.S. economy is auto production and related industries.
75% of the typical car's raw materials is aluminum.
We import 85% of the bauxite we use to make aluminum.
A car takes 3,068 pounds of iron ore.
Although the United States produces three-fourths of its own iron ore, we import most of the alloys required to make the ore into steel.
We depend on other people or resources.
In South Africa, a black miner makes $750 a year and lives away from his family for many months at a time while he works in the mines. The U.S. uses much of those minerals.
All this talk is too serious, too heavy. Who wants some coffee and donuts?
Yes.
Half of those donuts came from the sugar fields of the Caribbean, and that sugar grows there on land which used to grow food for the local people. The cane field workers aren't paid enough to buy good food imports from the USA. American house pets have more food, shelter, and medical care than 1 out of 8 people in the world.
That's not fair.
A coffee picker in South America gets $1.25 a day during the harvest season. How much imported North American food will that buy?
Will somebody tell that woman to quit spoiling our fun?
She's not trying to spoil our fun. She's trying to tell us the truth.
The truth is, we need to live more simply so that others may simply live.
For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. If there is among you a poor man, one of your brethren, in any of the towns within your land, which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who dwells in it? Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Return, faithless Israel, says the Lord. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt.
Part 4, Risk and Gain, Recycling Our Values. Changing, living simply, is a risk. It means taking a chance on finding happiness without having more things. But living humbly, simply, also means being just and fair. It's worth the risk, because it's right.
Happiness. What makes happiness anyway?
My brother and I had a great time making up a game of Frisbee.
And we didn't have to buy expensive equipment.
And we didn't use any gas.
We made it up ourselves. We had fun.
What about clothes? I like polyester. Even if it is made from petroleum, I prefer it.
Wool is warmer than polyester.
3 layers of clothes is as good as turning up the heat.
Sweden and Switzerland have higher average living standards than Americans, and they consume only half as much per capita energy.
I'd probably be happier if I'd eat less. It sure wouldn't hurt.
75% of the world's grain stocks are in the developed countries. The hungry people cannot grow enough food because their economies are too unstable to increase food production.
I like steak, man.
It requires 9 pounds of grain to produce 1 pound of steak.
We have to give up everything?
Is there no choice?
We all make choices. Some of us will choose to have smaller cars and fewer power tools and appliances. Others will choose to live in smaller homes or travel less or eat differently and carpool to work. We can choose to recycle and repair rather than to replace. All of us will make one choice.
What's that?
All of us will choose whether to start to act now or wait until outside forces require us to change with fewer last-minute alternatives.
But living with less, can we be happy?
I can be happy. I remember the 30s and 40s. Families were happy, maybe even happier than they are now.
I can be happy. I kind of like cooking from scratch. TV dinners are convenient, but they don't have much flavor or nutrition.
And they're packaged in aluminum.
I'd be satisfied to eat differently. I hate feeling like a stuffed pig.
I know I waste water. It's a challenge to try to change. I'll bet I can do it.
It's more fun to play outside than it is to watch TV.
We'd like ourselves better if we knew we weren't taking so much from others in order to have a high standard of living for ourselves.
We know we don't have to keep up with the Joneses. God loves us regardless.
I'd enjoy slowing down the fast pace of my life. I get tired of hurrying.
We replace selfish, consuming values with values of sharing and loving and self-respect. We enjoy life rather than attack it or hurry by it. We will understand better what God wants for our happiness.
I'd rather have fewer pairs of shoes if someone can feed and clothe his child better.
Hold it! You're getting too idealistic for me. How does your shoe buying relate to some kid in Cambodia?
Well, I believe I can influence people by my actions. After all, other people influence me by their choices.
There's strength in numbers.
We can band together. That's how things get done.
Okay. I get the message.
Besides, I couldn't live with myself if I didn't try to share and be just.
And if we don't start to consume less and use less energy now, you know who will get the brunt of it in the future.
We will.
And the poor.
Is it enough to accept change, or are we to cause it?
We can be agents for change. Change agents.
Jesus called us to be different, to change the world.
John Schramm said, and I quote, "Some people reject the Bible because in this modern world it doesn't make sense." We answer with the real question, seen from the biblical perspective, does the modern world make sense?
We can change from a love of things to a love of people.
We can value meaningful sacrifice for the benefit of others.
We can value our families and friends more, and our television and entertainment won't seem so important.
I can trust that I'm all right and acceptable, whatever clothes I own.
I don't really need to have an Atari.
I can waste less if I set my mind to it.
We can cooperate with our neighbors. It might be kind of fun and nice.
We could be pioneers.
It's not so much giving up as it is gaining. We can go from affluence to abundance. We can have richer lives.
Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who show mercy to others. God will show mercy to them. Happy are those who work for peace among people. God will call them his children. No one can be a slave to two masters. He will hate one and love the other. He will be loyal to one and despise the other. So it is with you. You cannot have both God and wealth as your master. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For you who were called to freedom, brethren, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
He showed you people what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?
Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully.